This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlat. Joshua Landis, welcome back to the roundtable. It's been a while, and so we need to do a Middle East update. We need to hear from you what's going on in Syria these days. Where do things currently stand?
Well, there's a ceasefire that had been very painfully put together is falling apart today. And as we recall, the Geneva process, which seems to have been lumbering along for a long time, has really fallen apart. Opposition is asking for Assad to go. Assad has said, that's a red line. I'm not leaving. His government delegation said, that's not happening. And slowly, this ceasefire has fallen apart. Now, Russia withdrew about half of their big fighter planes.
I was going to say, we haven't even been able to talk to you since Russia decided to remove a big chunk of its activity going on there. So now, what's behind that, first of all, and how is that going to affect how the rest of this is falling apart?
Well, Putin had his mission accomplished moment, and he said, I'm withdrawing troops.
What did he accomplish?
Well, he's shored up the Assad regime, which really took back a lot of territory, put the rebels on their heels, and established the fact that Russia is not going to let its interests in Syria be beaten. Now, once it had shored up Assad, he withdrew about half his planes. There's still a lot of activity. Russia is not going to let Assad fall. But he withdrew half his planes and said, okay, let's go to the negotiating table. You see, I'm doing this in order to get a negotiated solution. I'm not working against America. And he helped Syria attack Palmyra, a major city in which ISIS ruled in the center of Syria. So that was, in a sense, his exit calling card, in which he said, look, I can help you destroy ISIS. We're trying to destroy ISIS, but you have to work with me. The United States does not want to work with Russia. The feeling here is that Assad needs to leave. Russia is a troublemaker, and we're going to undermine Russia. Today, the talk is about getting man pads, these ground-to-air missiles into Syria in a way that would be safe, with special GPS chips on them or something that would – so if they were taken out of Syria, they couldn't be used, for example, against Israeli planes or American planes or somebody else's planes by terrorists. That's the problem. So – but they're discussing this. How do we hurt the Russians? And that is a recipe for prolonged civil war, because America is not going to let Russia and Assad win. Russia is not going to let Assad lose. And arms are flowing into Syria. So it's perpetual civil war. The refugee problem, all the attendant problems are going to be ongoing for some time to come.
So in the meantime, the people in Syria are doing what?
Now, about 70% of Syrian Arabs live under government control, and they are eking out a life, because at least there isn't conflict in their zone. The conflict comes in ISIS territory, which is a big hunk of Syria, and then along these border lines where the rebels meet the regime. That's where the refugees are coming from, where there's intense bombing and fighting going on in these villages that go back and forth. So a lot of people are just very poor. My wife's family all lives under government-controlled territory. They're okay. But the young men are all being taken off into the army, and where they are drafted, and they're getting killed in big, high numbers. So people are terribly depressed. They feel like they're caught. Anybody who's got the money is getting their kids out of there. And that's the trouble. And if your town falls into the battle lines, you leave. And the dispiriting factor is that people look at these sorts of negotiations and they say, there's never going to be peace in Syria, so I might as well go. If they thought in 2 years it would be over, they would stay. But they don't.
But it's going to be civil war forever. I mean, there's got to be an end to it. I mean, you go around, you talk about this stuff all the time. Tell us what needs to happen. What really needs to happen? What are the next steps that have to take place?
There's two possibilities. One is that one side in the civil war win. That's how the American Civil War ended. But nobody's going to let that happen, because it's a Russia versus America thing and Iran versus Saudi Arabia. So both sides have their proxy armies. So then you have to partition. You have to do a Yugoslavia and say, okay, the Sunnis over here will make a state for them, and the Alawites and minorities and the people that are owned by the regime will have their own state, and we'll try to bring a ceasefire and a truce. And then perhaps down the road, like East and West Germany, they can come back together again once the situation changes. But nobody wants that. all of the talking points for all of the outside powers are still, we've got to keep Syria together, negotiated solution where Assad leaves and we have some kind of rebel government conglomerated army, which doesn't seem very possible.
So it's a future Bosnia, I guess. Stalemate and division and no real progress being
made.
And
ISIS is still a big force.
So let's move to Saudi Arabia. President Obama has visited Saudi Arabia this week. A lot of contention, a lot of difficulty. Obviously, Saudi Arabia's involvement in other issues in the Middle East. But there also seems to be this issue hanging over the discussions about the 9/11 report, that government commission report, where 28 pages about Saudi Arabia have been missing or have been held out, redacted, and not brought to the forefront. And so there are lots of threats going around. Saudi Arabia is threatening that these pages can't come be made public. Victims' families are of the 9/11 attacks are threatening to sue Saudi Arabia. I mean, this is a big issue. What are you to make of
it
this?
It's a big sore, but it's just one grain of sand in what is a much bigger sore. And the bigger sore is that the United States and President Obama have been moving away from their very close relationship with Saudi Arabia. President Obama, in an Atlantic article, called the Gulf states free riders, that they were getting all of this defense for free, and they needed to step up and do more. He insulted them badly, and that comes on top of signing a nuclear deal with Iran, which is theoretically helping Iran get out from underneath sanctions, but so far they haven't been able to. But Saudi Arabia feels that the United States is abandoning them, and the United States feels that Saudi Arabia is way too expensive, it's too Wahhabi, and it's a millstone around the United States' neck. And that's the underlying tension as he goes there. In the meantime, court is looking to sue Saudi Arabia for 9/11 victims and make Saudi Arabia pay the families a big reward. The foreign minister of Saudi Arabia said, if they do that, we're going to sell all the American debt that we hold, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of debt, and we will hurt the American economy. So that's the environment in which Obama is trying to smooth some feathers.
So that's what he's there to do, is to try to smooth this over. I mean, this is – what else is he trying to accomplish? I mean, shoring up our alliance in a particular way. I mean, obviously they're talking about Syria. They're talking about Iran. They're talking about, what needs to happen in the region
and Yemen is a disaster, and America has been supplying tons of arms. We've been selling, tens of billions worth of arms every year to Saudi Arabia, and they're using fragmentation bombs and other things on Yemen and civilians in Yemen, marketplaces where one fragmentation bomb just hit. So America's getting anxious about this alliance and this arming of Saudi Arabia beginning to take a real toll. But also there are rumors that Obama is trying to meet with the president of Iran. So in a sense, he's continuing to play this balancing game, Iran, Shiites versus Sunni.
All right. Well, we will continue to pay attention to that, Joshua, as always, and return to this very frustrating situation in Syria in the future.
Well, it's a pleasure being with
you. Thank you, Joshua.